Good morning. I seek an interest in your prayers as we sit here this morning looking to God's Word. And I hope, my prayer is that we could, as we sit here, that we could receive some of those blessings like Glenn was talking about here, that God or that Jesus has for us this morning, that we could be filled, that he would give me clarity of thought, and that we could, everything that would be done would be to his honor and glory. Nate raised the question in Sunday school that kind of stood out to me. He says, can we live a righteous life without talking to others? I'm just putting this in my own words now. Talking to others about God's saving love. Can we live a righteous life without talking to others about God's saving love? And if you let your mind go on that question, the question comes back, can you live a righteous life? I'll let you answer that. If I was going to put a title to my topic here this morning, I just quickly put it together as far as the title. I'm not sure if it makes sense or not, but I labeled it man and soil or dirt. Man and soil. And when I talk about man this morning, I'm talking about mankind. I'm not talking to this side of the house. I'm talking about all of us. Man as a human race. And man was created from dust, from dirt. Maybe we could say from soil. So man has something in common with dirt. That's what he was created from. And when I talk about soil or dirt, you could at times maybe interchange it with a field. And oftentimes when we talk about a field, that's what we're working with. We're working with the soil first. I'd like to look at three different fields or three different soils. The first one is the physical one, the second one is the spiritual one, and the third one is the lives of those about us. Recently, on my personal devotions, I was reading in Genesis, and there's some things that stood out to me, and I thought I'd just read. We can turn to Genesis 1. I'd like to read verses 1 through 10. And this is all very familiar to us, I believe. We all know what the creation story is, but I'd like to read Genesis 1, 1 to 10. It says, in the beginning God created heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from darkness, and God called the light day, and the darkness he called night, and the evening and the morning were the first day. And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear, and it was so. Right here is where the earth was created, where the soil came out, became dry land. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called a sea, and God saw that it was good. So here we have God creating the earth, the dry land, the soil, the dirt that we work with today. That's around us. Now let's look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, and have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. And God said, behold, I have given you every herb-bearing seed which is upon the face of all the earth, and every tree which in the which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed to you, it shall be for meat. And to every beast of the earth, and to every fowl of the air, and to everything that creepeth upon the earth, wherein there is life, I have given every green herb for meat, and it was so. And God saw everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good. And the evening and the morning were the sixth day. God created man in his own image. That means that you were created in God's image, that I was created in God's image. The person four benches ahead of you or four benches behind you, it means the drunkard, it means the one that's in the midst of drugs and can't rise above. It means the politician, it means someone in a jungle, everyone. It means the child abuser. It means everybody was created in God's image. Just as much as I was and just as much as you were. Okay, let's move on to chapter 3. Verse 17 through 24. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake, in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shalt bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was a mother of all living. Unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skin and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, man is become as one of us, to know good and evil, and to know. And now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life, to keep the way of the tree of life. So here we see man received some punishment, some judgment for what he did, and also along with this was an added responsibility. Up until this point, if I'm correct, I didn't see anything where man was supposed to till the ground. Now he's supposed to till the ground from where he came out of. And it says, thorns also and thistles shall bring forth. Thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. So what do we have here in Genesis? There is a call, there is a responsibility when God created us that we're supposed to, well, just the list is fruitful, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, have dominion over, dress and keep. What is this? It's stewardship, responsible management and care. For what? The earth. All aspects of creation, environment, animals, other people, and children. And for myself, I believe it's easier to connect, and I believe it's maybe that way for everybody. Understand our responsibility to be a good steward when we're talking about everyday things, the earth, creation, material things, the environment. And even it doesn't matter necessarily if a person believes in God. If he doesn't believe in God, I believe to a greater or lesser degree, a lot of people in this world realize a need to conserve, reserve, and there's a lot of pressure on that. As people try to recognize their responsibility for for what they have, for what God gave, whether they realize it as God's gift to them, whether they realize it as a responsibility from God or not. But they realize something they need to take care of and preserve this earth. Even though they may not have fellowship with God, maybe they don't want to have anything to do with scriptural accountability. I'd like to turn to Matthew 13 now. And if the only connection we had as man to dirt was our creation, that'd be one thing. But Jesus uses a parable to explain four soils, and these soils are likened to people. I'd like to start in Matthew 13, verse 1, I guess. The same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and a great multitude were gathered together unto him. So they went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, Behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell on stony places, where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, because they had no root. They withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30-fold. Who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came and said unto him, Why speakest thou unto them in parables? He answered and said unto them, Because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, By hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you, that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When any one heareth the word of the kingdom, and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one, and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received the seed by the wayside. But he that received the seed into stony place, the same as he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet he hath not root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. He also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. But he that receiveth seed into the good ground is he that heareth the word and understandeth it, which also beareth fruit, bringeth forth some 100, some 60, and some 30. So there we have Jesus outlining several different types of soil, several different types of people. And in this world, the physical earth, the soil, it's labeled into basically four different groups, four different types. And there's many pros and cons to each one. There's clay, there's sand, there's silt, and then there's loam. With the exception They tell me that the state of Arizona listed a fifth one, and it's called Rocky. But some of these other ones have rock sediment in them. But I'd like to just look at some of these different soils now. These are the basic ones. Loam is the ideal soil. And when you find out what loam is made of, the good ground in this passage was a combination of all three of those other bad grounds. Loam is 40% silt, 40% sand, and 20% clay. Loam isn't all by itself. It's 40% silt, 40% sand, and 20% clay. That's what they say is the ideal soil to grow something in. Clay cracks and tends to be alkaline. However, it holds moisture and nutrients well. Sandy soil has poor nutrient retention, has good drainage, and silt, we tend to think of silt as good ground. But what silt really is eroded dirt and pieces, fine pieces of rock that are broken down. It holds water well, and it can be compacted very easily. Now for a look at the stony ground or type that Arizona has. I never thought of it this way, but they said rocky ground provides protection from temperature extremes. I guess the rocks are more of a, it provides protection from temperature extremes. It takes a while for it to heat up, and it takes longer for it to cool down. Good aeration, low organic matter, and poor moisture retention. Now, if you look back over those four main soils that we listed, the clay, the sand, the silt, and the loam, compaction can be made in pretty much all of those, which can create an issue. Too much tillage, too much traffic, too much of a certain mineral or salt in any one of them, even in loam, will take away from its ability to perform. Makes it difficult for moisture and air to penetrate. Just to make some comparisons, the wayside that it talks about here in Matthew 13, where the fowls of the air picked up the seed, I'd like to liken that to clay or silt. It can be compacted easily. But what do we say clay has? There's lots of nutrients, and it holds water well. The stony ground, thorns like stony and sandy ground. The stony ground, we're going to liken it to the stony ground of Arizona, and the thorns that grew up and choked it, we're going to liken that to the sandy ground. Like we said, sand doesn't retain moisture very well. A few questions that I'd like to present this morning. We know that God created all these different types of soil. He created the clay and the silt and the sand, the loam, the stony, the rocky ground. Did God create people of different soil types? There's four different soil types Jesus talked about here in this parable. Did God create these different soil types in people? If he did, can they be changed or improved? If he did not create different soil types, why are there different soil types in people? And was there anybody, number four, created a beautiful loamy soil? Or the good ground? Was anybody created this way? Now, one thing we know for certain is that the seed that gets put out on these grounds, the word of God is the same. It doesn't change. God doesn't prescribe a seed for this soil and for that soil. And so this is salty over here, so we're going to use salt tolerant alfalfa over here. And this one can tolerate wet ground, so we're going to plant them in the clay. There's one seed for all. We're going to try to answer some of these questions, and I believe as we answer a few of them, maybe some of the rest of them will be automatically answered. Number one, did God create people with different soil types? When you look at a young child, we're talking about people being created with different soil types. When you look at a young child, what do you see? Most young children are like a sponge. They just naturally are this way. They're full of questions. They're easily pliable, influenced. They're easily changed. They absorb things fast. There's tremendous growth in a short amount of time. Immaturity. And if there's not, we think there's something wrong with them. We know there's something wrong with them. Let's look at Matthew 18 and see what Jesus said about children. Verses 2 to 6. Well, let's start at verse 1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them, and said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. For whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whoso shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depth of the sea. There's five things here that characterize children, or that we can pull out. And then one of them is humility. They're very trusting. They're open and teachable. They're forgiving. And they're very simple. Simplicity. It's amazing the simple questions that can come from a young child. They're open and teachable. They're humble, trusting. And what does it say here? Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Do we have a responsibility then? Is this a field? Is this a soil that can be shaped? So going back to our question, number one, did God create people of different soil types? I welcome you to correct me. But I'm going to say no. Everybody was created with the same soil type. I'd like to read Proverbs 22. I'm not saying children aren't nature different. I'm not saying that at all. But the way children are pliable, made up. Proverbs 22, 4 to 6. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth in himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. By humility and the fear of the Lord are riches, honor, and life. Thorns and snares are in the way of the froward. He that doth keep his soul shall be far from them. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. It looks like a soil that we're responsible for. I guess I lost my... God hasn't blessed everyone with children. But that does not exclude everyone. To care for, to dress, to keep, teach, to be an example to. Everyone is included. Each one of us got a responsibility in Genesis, when God said, be fruitful, multiply, replenish, subdue, take care of the earth. We also have the responsibility to care for the young people. So, if God didn't, our question number two was, did he and can they be changed or improved? If he did, create different soil types. We're going to skip that question because we said that there was only one soil type. So question three, if he did not create different soil types, why are there different soil types in people today? And this parable that we read here in Matthew 13 is the same parable in Mark and in Luke. This parable is brought out and taught in three different places, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And there's something that stood out in all three parables to me that was listed aside from talking about the soil. And I'd like to read each one. In Matthew 13, verse 11, he answered and said unto them, behold, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance, but whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see, and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear, and have not heard them. And he talks about the prophet Isaiah. If you go to Isaiah 6, verse 8 to 13, it says, also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord had removed men far away, and there is a great forsaking in the midst of the land. But yet in it shall be a tenth, and it shall return, and shall be eaten, as a teal tree, as an oak, whose substance is in them. When they cast their leaves, so the holy seed shall be the substance thereof. Seeing they see not, hearing they hear not. Mark 4. verses 24 and 25. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall be more given. For he that hath, to him shall be given, and he that hath not, from him shall be taken even that he hath. Take heed what ye hear, what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. Luke 8. Verse 15 to 18. But on that good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covered it with a vessel, or put it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed, therefore, how ye hear, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. What are we seeing in these three parables? What you see, what you hear, how you measure, openness, using the light you have and not hiding it or covering it up. In the natural sense, nothing of value grows in total darkness. And I believe what he's bringing out is how we measure is going to be measured to us again. The light that we do have, if we grow in that light, we'll receive more. If we cover it up and hide it, we're going to receive more darkness as well. Why is it that you can have two neighbors side by side? The only thing that's separating them is a fence. There's drastic differences between what they do. And there's big differences between what the results are. They both hear the same thing. They both see the same thing. They both till the land. They both look for a harvest. They've both been farming for years. They both have the same droughts. They both have the same floods. The one seems to be prospering and the other floundering. To the one, it's either too wet or too dry, too hot or too cold, too much wind or not enough. And to the other, it seems, looking on, that these extremes, these harsh environments, these elements, they don't necessarily right away dictate a crop failure. Why? What's the difference? You can't see this everywhere, but some places you can see a direct difference from one side of the fence to the next. What's the difference? Seeing you see not, hearing you hear not. They're both seeing the same things and hearing the same things, but they're seeing all complete different things. So back to our question, if God did not create different soil types, why in people's lives, why are there different ones in different people? This soil can be changed, and it takes a combination of soils to make the good loamy soil. and your life can be changed, and my life can be changed. A child's life can be influenced. Your life was influenced, and my life was influenced. We can change soils in the natural sense. It might take time, it might take effort, but we can bring about positive changes. So I would like to propose that, since we said God only created one soil type in people's lives, the changes we see are brought about by decisions of each of us personally, the choices we make, if we're seeing or if we're not seeing, if we're hearing or not hearing, if we have light or if we're hiding the light. So yes, the soil can be changed. That's the reason why there's differences. Was anyone created a beautiful loamy soil or the good ground? Question 4. Yes, each of us was created beautiful loamy soil. When you look at a little child, it's perfect. Created, we almost say, without flaw. Everyone's has the carnal nature, but there is the perfect soil to nurture, and it's just a sponge ready to soak up. Whatever they're taught, they trust, they believe, they forgive. The murderer that's sitting in jail had a perfect soil type when he was born. We were all created in the image of God, back like we looked at in Genesis 1. Will we cultivate the soil of life? Will we preserve it and protect it? Will we get rid of those thorns and briars? Are we going to be responsible and care for and manage it? Do we want crop failure after crop failure in our life and the lives of our children and those around us? So in closing, how do we see, hear, measure, and grow in the light? There's several passages I'd like to read quickly. Bear with me here. Hosea 10:12. It says, "Sow to yourself in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, till he come and rain righteousness upon you." Sow to yourself in righteousness and break up the fallow ground. Hebrews 3. Verse 12 to 13. "Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." There is a hardening process. The deceitfulness of sin. Maybe we have this loamy soil, but just because it was loamy one day doesn't mean it will be loamy forever. Hebrews 6, 7 to 12. "For the earth which shrinketh in the rain that cometh oft upon it, and bringeth forth herbs meet for them by whom it is dressed, receiveth blessing from God. But that which beareth thorns and briars is rejected, is and is nigh unto cursing, whose end is to be burned. But, beloved, we are persuaded of better things of you, and things that accompany salvation, though we thus speak. For God is not righteous to forget unrighteous, to forget your work and labor of love which ye have showed toward his name, in that ye have ministered to the saints and do minister. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope unto the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises." Let's inherit these promises. Let's kneel for prayer.